Welcome to the C3 SYD podcast. Our heart for you is that you would know Jesus, find community, and discover purpose. To find out more about our church, head to our website at c3syd.church. We hope that this message encourages you today.
Well, okay, everybody, why don't we just look to God this morning, right now. Just reach out to God wherever you are. Father, we just thank you, Lord. Your word says this: if you draw near to me, I'll draw near to you. So right now, God, we draw near to you. Help us, God, with our stuff. Help us to be the people you've called us to be. We might fall short, but God, help us to get up and to be that person in Jesus' mighty and wonderful name. Speak to us today. And everybody said, can we give Jesus another big hand? Great stuff. Grab a seat, everybody. Pull up a pew. It's awesome. Fantastic. Well, what a great series. I so enjoyed hearing Pastor Alex last week. And he looked after the first four of the Beatitudes in Jesus' great Sermon on the Mount. Several years ago, they did a survey in America and they said, what are the greatest speeches in human history? And they did this big survey and people from all over America put their 2 cents worth in and they came down to the last three, the top three. And number three greatest speech of all time was the wonderful Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech. Second greatest speech of all time, Abraham Lincoln's Gettysburg Address, which, by the way, was between 2 and 3 minutes. Amazing. How many people wish that anointing would come, that Abraham Lincoln anointing would come on me today, right? Okay, keep it short, Thorny. Okay, and the first one, the greatest one. The greatest message in human history is what you and I have got the privilege of studying today, Jesus's Sermon on the Mount. Come on, let's give Jesus a big hand. The Sermon on the Mount, it was amazing. The greatest words ever spoken by a human being in the history of the world, Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We're going to have a look at five of the Beatitudes today. And it's going to be fat. So if you could just turn with me, please, to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 7. And just in preaching this message and in chatting with people, even today, I am reminded of my own shortcomings when it comes to being the person that God wants me to be. And I need all the help I can get. Is there anybody else who needs some help? That's the best response I've had to an altar call in years. I need help, but God will help us this morning. So I would love to just read these Beatitudes out. And here we go, and I want you to follow it through with me this morning, please. And here it is, starting in verse 7 of Matthew chapter 5. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets that were before you. Okay, so we're going to be looking at those five Beatitudes today. I've compressed the last two into one, so it's going to be a four-point message today. Okay, now, when I look at this, this is Jesus standing up. And he's mindful, I think, of the fact that when God created the earth, he made this incredible creation and it was a kingdom. But he said, you know what? I want to rule under me I want mankind to rule under me. And in Genesis 1, 26, it says this, then God said, let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule. And that was paradise created with this beautiful world that we live in, this beautiful God who is in heaven, and beautiful people. And that was how God created the world. But guess what? That was paradise created. But then we have paradise lost with the fall of man. And now Jesus comes back and he stands on the mountain and he begins to speak and to say, you know what? And I didn't read this out in the scriptures just below what you've read, but he said, you are the light of the world. He said, I want you to shine like a city on a hill. I want people to see you and see your good works. I want you to live like this. And so that then we can create the kingdom of God here on earth. And so these are the rules of the kingdom. And you see, I was thinking about this the other day. I was in the shower yesterday and I was thinking about my message. I couldn't enjoy my shower completely. I was just thinking about my message and I thought, you know what? People can't see God, but they can see you. Let me just mention that to the people over here. People can't see, people in the world, they can't see God, but they can see his children, of which you are one. They can see his representatives, which you are. They can see, the Bible calls us ambassadors of another kingdom, of a way which is higher than the ways of the world. God's ways are high. Mankind is here and we're in the middle. And you might be all that your neighbor is going to get. So we need help to be that light, to be that salt, to be that person. Anybody need help today? Can we give Jesus a hand, because help's on the way? Amen. Help us, God. Help us, God. Here we go. So let's look at point one, shall we? I'm just disappointed today. All my points don't start with the same letter. The Bible does say when you're preaching, particularly in Pentecostal churches, your points must all begin with the same letter. I actually haven't found it, but I'm looking for it. I'm sure I will soon. It's got to be in here somewhere. But anyway, look at what it says here. And this is fantastic, verse 7. In fact, if I was just going to preach on one thing, on one of the Beatitudes, then this would be the one, because this is the one I need help in, okay? Verse 7, look at this here. Blessed are the merciful. Can we all say that together, please, on the count of three? One, two, three. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. 59 times in the New Testament, we find the word mercy. In fact, in one psalm, and this is one of my favorite psalms in the Bible. So one psalm in the Old Testament, Psalm 136. It says this in the King James. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His mercy endures forever. Second verse. Give thanks to the God of gods. His mercy endures forever. Verse 3. Give thanks to the Lord of lords. His mercy endures forever. Now, I'm a New Zealander. Have we got any Kiwis? I'm going to tell a Kiwi joke. So I've learned the hard way. Only tell jokes at your own expense, at no one else's. So let me just share this one. What's the difference between a New Zealander and a computer? You only have to punch information into the computer once. But here in Psalm 136, 26 times. How many times? 26 times God says his mercy endures forever. I get the feeling that God wants to make a point here if he repeats something not once, but not twice, but 26 times mercy. Everybody say mercy. Mercy. Now, the word used in the Hebrew is the Hebrew word kesed. And it's the same word that's used in Lamentations 3 when it says this, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And that word, kesed, is also translated. And I think actually that word mercy and the word kesed encapsulates the very nature and character of Almighty God. And listen, you and I are made in his image. We're here to bring his kingdom to earth. It should encapsulate our nature also. And the words that are also translated in different passages of the Bible, kesed, kindness, beauty, favor, mercy, and pity. Time and time again, that God is referred to a God of love, mercy, and pity. In fact, what does the Bible say? 1 John 4, 7 and 8, beloved, let us love one another. For love is of God, and everyone who is born of God knows God and loves God. He that loves not does not know God, for God is love. Everybody say love. God is love, but God is also mercy. God is also beauty. And God is also compassion. And if God is like that, then we who are made in his image and who seek to follow him through our flawed lives need to pray and ask God, God, help me to be like that. Help me to be someone who's merciful. Now, on 1st of February 2020, a man in Sydney, a Coptic Christian named Danny Abadala, sent his three children and their cousin, four little kids, down the road to buy ice creams. As they're walking down the road, a drunk driver swerves across the road and kills all four of them. Anybody heard of that story? It is the saddest and most horrific thing almost that you could hear. But guess what? Danny Abadala goes into jail to meet the man who killed his children. And he's sentenced, I think, 28 years in jail. And he gets down and he forgives this man in the name of Jesus Christ. And that man asks Jesus into his life as his Lord and Savior as a result. And Danny Abadala starts a charity called this, the letter I and the number four, I Forgive Day on the 1st of February every year. It's I Forgive Day. Well, guys, let's not make it just the 1st of February. Let's make it from the 1st of January to the 31st of December every year. God has forgiven us. Let's forgive others. Blessed are the merciful, for they will obtain mercy. Can you turn to your neighbor and just say, mercy? It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. It's part of the nature of Almighty God. Secondly, in verse 8 of Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Now, as the bodybuilder said to the librarian, you've got the dictionary, but I've got the definition. So a definition of what it is to be pure. A definition of what it is to be pure. Kerry Saundercock, my beautiful wife, could you stand up right now? No, I'll read it. It's this, not mixed or adulterated with any other substance or material, free from contamination, wholesome and untainted by immorality. And the Bible says this, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The psalmist writes in Psalm 24, 3 to 4, he says this, he asks the big question, because we want to see God, right? Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. And I thought I'd toss in Proverbs 32, verse 1, which is the thoughts of Chairman Saundy. If the heart is pure, the hands are clean. It all begins on the inside. Religion, the religious rulers of the day persecuted Jesus because he and his followers didn't wash their hands with Jewish ceremonial washings. But Jesus then shifted it. It's not about the external. It's about the internal. It's about matters of the heart. And yet if God can just get a hold of our hearts, it'll work its way out. Religion works from the outside in, a set of external rules that we have to conform to and maybe we might become a better person. But Christianity works from the inside out. Jesus takes us and he gives us a new heart, and then you and I are on this wonderful journey, and here's the good thing, we're on a journey together. We're one big happy family, and every family needs a crazy uncle, and that's me. All right, so here we are as God begins to work in our lives. Titus 2:14, now my son Joel, who's with me today, he said these words to me, Dad, there's two books in the Bible named after you, Mark and Titus. I'm still trying to work out what he means by that, but here's the book that's supposedly what I'm like as a person, Titus 2:14. And it says this, Jesus Christ, basically, who gave himself for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify for himself a people that are his very own, eager to do what is good. And there's lots of scriptures that talk about God refining and God purifying his people. I'm going to break all the traditions of C3 Church right now. I'm actually going to drink some of the water that's in the glass. Excuse me. That's the first time it's been done in this pulpit for many years. All right. And it's God's job to do this incredible work in our lives. Having said that, it's God's job, but it's also our job. Now, I've said this before, and we're very blessed to have Pastor Chris with us today. In fact, Pastor Phil's going to be preaching, I think it's November 17th, in this pulpit. November 17th is going to be here. Now, Pastor Phil, You would have, most of us have heard many, many messages. There's lots of wisdom and lots of gems there. So I'm looking forward to the 17th. It's going to be fantastic. But he said a whole bunch of wise things. The wisest thing Pastor Phil has ever said was, Saundy, you're hired. It's the wisest, the smartest thing that he's ever said. But the second thing that sticks out to me, the second thing he said was this. I remember in this very pulpit, in this very spot, he said this. God moves, then we move. God moves, then we move. Let's not confuse what's God's job with what's our job. Only God can save us. Only God can fill us with the Holy Spirit. Only God can heal us. I get it. But let's not confuse what's God's job with what is our job. And you see, it's also our job to analyze our personal world and to allow God to work with us and to take that next step in being purified. I mean, we've just been looking at consecration. Joshua 3:5 is one of the big verses. Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves. That's your job. That's my job. Consecrate yourselves. And it's amazing if you consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. What sort of things are they? Amazing things. Amazing things. If only we'd consecrate ourselves. James 4:8, one of my favorite verses. I prayed it as I opened this message today. Draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. So let's allow the Holy Spirit to be at work in our lives, but then let's take and analyze our worlds and say, you know what? I need help with my life. I need to be purified. Help me, God. Is there anybody else in the same boat or is it just me? Because, listen, I used to be a bad person. I know you find that hard to believe. You thought I was born good, but I was bad. And Jesus, on the 90th of October, 1976, how many people weren't even born then? That's the best response I've had to an altar call in years or an appeal. God saved me, and then he started the job of purifying my heart. And so Jesus, as he stands on the mountain and he looks at the multitudes, he says these words, blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. By the way, I don't want to just wait until I die to see God. I want to see God now. Today, in this church, in this service, because if I'm pure of heart, I will see God now. Guys, let's get a vision of God. Let's get a vision of what God is like. And then we see what you and I should be like, pure in heart, and then we'll see God. Thirdly, in verse 9 of Matthew chapter 5, Jesus is just speaking this. And by the way, I read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. I timed it, and it was about 14 and a half minutes. So why don't we all go home and read the Beatitudes for ourselves and apply them to our lives. It's amazing. It's a wonderful, wonderful discourse, wonderful speech. And Jesus continues on, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Now, in my own life, I don't like confrontation. I don't like confrontation. I'm a peacekeeper. How many people don't like confrontation? Most people really struggle. They want to avoid it at all costs. But listen, sometimes we need to be a peacemaker rather than a peacekeeper. James says these words in James 3:17. It says this, but the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving. So you get pure as the previous point I made. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy. Again, we see mercy. And good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. And I put in brackets after this, and are called children of God. My dear friends, we're called to mediate and be peacemakers in our families. A whole bunch of the time, you know, see, Christmas in the Saundercock household's a lot of fun. We have a great old time. But there's some families, and maybe your family is one of them, where it's the worst day of the year because there are people missing from the table who should be there and need to be there, and then but they're not there because 5 years ago they had an argument about something and they got all upset and then they won't come to the party. And so we need peace and we need love. We need mercy. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5, God has given us the ministry of reconciliation, to reconcile God to people and people to people. We look around the nations of the world. We watch the news and we need a peacemaker, don't we? We need a peacemaker in Europe. We need a peacemaker in the Middle East. We need peacemakers in our homes, in our families, and in our communities. And you and I might not solve the problems of the world, but we may be able to solve the problems of our family. Because blessed are the peacemakers, for they are called the children of God. Now, Paul said these words, the Apostle Paul, I've become all things to all people, so that by all possible means, I may save some. Great sentiments from the Apostle Paul. So he was prepared to sacrifice the small areas for the big one. He wasn't going to argue about politics. He wasn't going to argue about stuff. He was only concerned about bringing the kingdom of God and saving people's lives. Having said that, Paul was always arguing with people because there are some things we can't bend on. There's some things that are black and white. There's some things we cannot compromise on, and that is the biblical absolute of salvation through the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul would fight with Peter, the apostle, because Peter started to get all religious on him. And he fought with the entire church of Galatia. You foolish Galatians. He would have a blue with them. But you know what? Because it was all about grace and salvation by grace and faith alone. So you and I, my friends, let's not fight over the little things. Let's pick our battles and fight. And listen, and I've got a little saying. Let's not fight in our family. Let's fight for our family. Let's not fight in church. Let's fight for church. There are lots of things that happen in church life and things don't work out the way we want because church is filled with imperfect people. But if only we would be peacemakers. Peace. Everybody say peace. It's awesome. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Then verse 10 and verse 11, I'm going to compress 2 points into one. Verse 10, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 11, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil about you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Peter said these words in 1 Peter 4:15, if you suffer, it should not be as a murderer or a thief or any other kind of criminal or even as a meddler. You know who you are today. God bless you. However, if you suffer as a Christian, do not be ashamed. But praise God that you bear that name. So, and this was very poignant for Peter, because one of the last words, or one of the last discourses that Jesus had with him, was Jesus actually signified that Peter was to die a martyr's death. In fact, tradition tells us that they were going to crucify Peter, and he said, no, I don't want to die the same way Jesus did. Crucify me upside down. That's what Christian tradition tells us. Peter knew that he would be persecuted for the rest of his life, yet he still encouraged the saints of God. And when all the stuff was going on, whether there was fire or sword or whatever, to keep holding up the name of Jesus and keep holding out hands of love to this lost and this hurting world, even if we're persecuted as a result. And he says this in Romans 8, what can separate us from the love of God? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither the future nor the powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Guys, I've tried my best this morning to bring the most beautiful words ever spoken to you for your consideration. Praying, God help me. God help me to be a better person. God help me to be more merciful. Is there anybody here who says, God help me? Mercy, help me to be merciful. Help me to be pure. When I'm persecuted, help me to stand up for Christ. Help me to be a peacemaker. In the wonderful name of Jesus, help me, God. Can we bow our heads in a word of prayer today, right now? Dear Lord, we just thank you for your love, for your mercy, for your grace. Oh God, for the purity that comes in knowing you and following you. And we thank you even, Lord, as we stand up for you, for the persecution that we get by individuals or organizations, but we're going to stand up for Jesus.
Thank you for listening to the C3 SYD podcast. To make sure you don't miss out on our next podcast, click subscribe. If you want to find out more about following Jesus, get connected, or find a C3 SYD location near you, head to c3syd.church/connect-with-us. Don't forget, you can find us on YouTube and Instagram at c3.syd. We look forward to having you back soon.